This week's parasha is Parashas Truma, which talks about begins to talk about the building of the Mishkan. And I saw that Rabbi Sacher Friend, one of his svarim, points out a very interesting perush and comment of Rabbeinu Bachaye on this week's parasha. Torah tells us that the shulchan that stood in the Mishkan was made of atzei shittim, which they translate as acacia wood. I don't know what acacia wood is, but that's what they say atzei shittim is. And Rabbeinu Bachaye points out that not only was the shulchan made of atzei shittim, but the basic aron and the mizbeach were made of atzei shittim. And he says that shittim, acacia wood, is also Rashi Tevos. What does it stand for? Says Rabbeinu Bachaye, Vasisa Shulchan Atzei Shittim. Shittim is Shin Tet Yud Mem. Shalom Tova Yeshua Mechila. Shalom Tova Yeshua Mechila. Why? Because all the tovos, all the goodness that these represent, were included in the shulchan. We have the mizbeach, and the mizbeach, of course, brings kapara. You can be makiv karbanos on the mizbeach. And the shulchan, we know that on the shulchan were the lechem apanim, the 12 loaves that were changed every from Shabbos to Shabbos. They would stay there. And the lechem that's on the shulchan, says Rabbeinu Bachaye, is like a korban on the mizbeach. And then he writes, "Kishadam tov ayin meitav u'machil sham ha'aniyim." Because on the shulchan, when you're generous, you feed aniyim. What's he talking about? So Chazal tell us that there's an interesting pasuk in Yechezkel that first begins to describe at the beginning of the pasuk a mizbeach, and it gives the dimensions of the mizbeach, and it calls it a mizbeach. And at the very end of that same pasuk, it says, "Vayidaber Eli zeh hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem." So, Chazal, say 1 second. You're dealing with a mizbeach, or you're dealing with a shulchan? The beginning of the pasuk, you describe a mizbeach, and then you end up by saying zeh hashulchan. Say Chazal, patach b'mizbeach v'siyein b'shulchan. Why? Bizman shebeis hamigdash kayam, adam miskaper al yidei mizbeach. The beis hamigdash existed, person needed kapara, he had a mizbeach, he could bring karbanos. Achshav shein beis hamigdash kayam, adam miskaper al yidei shulchan. When there's no beis hamigdash, you bring about kapara through your shulchan. What does it mean through your shulchan? On your shulchan you feed, you eat. So it depends what you do with it. You can use it just to feed yourself, or you can use it to feed aniyim, to invite guests, to be a machnis oreach. And if you use your shulchan to be meitiv laniyim, as Rabbeinu Bachaye said earlier, tov ayin, somebody who's generous, meitiv v'machil shem aniyim, says then your mizbeach, your shulchan can be like a mizbeach and bring about kapara. And he quotes a minag chasidim shebetzarfat, a minag of the pious ones from France. Sha'osim mishulchanam aron lekvura. Says when they passed away, they asked that the dining room table be made into a coffin for them. That's where their coffins were made of, their dining room table. Laharot to show ki adam lo yisa meuma biyado v'lo yilavenu ba'amalo ki matztaka sha'asa bechayav. That a person won't travel from this world to the next world, won't be accompanied by any gold, by any silver, by any wealth. The only thing that will accompany him will be the tztaka and the ma'asim tovim that he did, that he fed aniyim, that he was a machnis oreach. And that becomes the godless of the shulchan, which is domet mizbeach. It's a very, very nice explanation of Rabbeinu Bachaye, who doesn't need our approval. But I want to share with you a story that I heard this past Friday night. I think it's a very, very appropriate story to this Dvar Torah. A number of years ago, I don't remember quite how many, 6-7 years ago, something like that. My wife and I were in the States, went to visit family in the States. My wife wanted to take a vacation. I come along. So I wanted to go somewhere a little bit out of the ordinary. And a neighbor of ours in Ramat Beit Shemesh has a sister who was living in Seattle. So maybe we'll go to Seattle. Some nice things to see in Seattle. And there really are. So we contacted them, and they were extremely gracious, very generous. And they said, sure, we can come to Seattle, we can stay by them. So I don't remember, we stayed there, I think it was like 3 days, three nights we stayed there. They were extremely gracious, wonderful hosts. They gave us in the basement downstairs, we had privacy there. They fed us meals. When we went out during the day, she made sandwiches, so we'll have lunch, like a box lunch. Even the day that we left to the airport, she gave us lunch to take. It's a little bit of a mix-up because she sent me her husband's sandwich and sent her husband my sandwich. And I don't like avocados, and he loves them. But so I think she actually called us in the airport to apologize. She sent us the wrong sandwich. But they were really, really very, very, very fine people. They made Aliyah to Ramat Beit Shemesh about 3 weeks ago or something like that. And so my wife said, we have to have them over for a meal. So they came over to eat Friday night. And it was very nice. And then she told the following story. This is her second marriage, both for she and her husband. I think they've been married, I think she said 18 years. But at the time the story happened, she was divorced. And she was living in Atlanta. And she was a balas tshuva for quite a while already, not early from birth, but for a number of years, keeping kosher, Shomer Shabbos, and she was traveling a lot for her work, and she landed in the airport in Atlanta, and she was getting ready to go to get her car, which she had parked, I guess, in the long-term parking lot. There, and she notices by another gate there's a somewhat old, not very old, but an older couple, looked very frail and looked a little bewildered, like they seemed to not have their bearings. She was very tired, she just wanted to go home, but maybe there's somebody who needs. So she went over to them. She figures that they probably wanted to get to the Frum neighborhood. Maybe they wanted to go to the shul or to go out to eat in the restaurants. It's all located in one general neighborhood. So she figures it's not so far. She'll drive them on the way home. So she goes over to them and she says, what do you want to do? Well, it turns out that they were coming from St. Louis flying back to New York. And I think there was just bad weather or something in the whole Northeast, and the plane was diverted to Atlanta. And they were told that they would have to stay overnight in Atlanta. They were going to put them up in some hotel, who knows where. And they didn't have necessarily food with them. And so she said, oh, so I'll take you to the, we can get the kosher restaurant. And somehow or another, you'll make yourselves your way back to the hotel. So she said, the only thing is, my car, it's going to take me 20 minutes to get to my car and come back here. So are you willing to wait? They said, yes, yes, they're happy to wait. And she says, oh, and what's your name? As she's leaving. And the person says, Feinstein. So she walks away and she says, Feinstein. Got to be thousands of Feinsteins in the world. Like, what are the, it's got to be thousands of Feinsteins. And she's walking away and she hears the wife call the husband, David. If you know this, so Moshe Feinstein sons David. So she says, David Feinstein? There gotta be hundreds of David Feinsteins. Hundreds of David Feinsteins. Anyway, she goes, she picks up her car, she comes back, and she takes them, and she's going to drive them to get to the one of the kosher restaurants, or whatever it is. So in the car, she says, by the way, is it Mr. or Rabbi? And he says, Rabbi. She says, ah, come on, there got to be dozens of Rabbi David Feinsteins in the world. And as she's driving along, she says, you know, these people are going to be sent to a hotel somewhere in the middle of nowhere. So she turns to them. She says, I'm not going to stay in my house. She said at the time she was divorced, she wasn't covering her hair, whatever it was, but she kept kosher. She said, listen, I have extra room. Do you want to maybe stay in my house and staying in the hotel? I'll be happy to have you. So they said, are you sure it's not a burden? He says, no, it's fine. But she still figures that it can't be the Reb David Feinstein. I mean, come on, that would be ridiculous. And anyway, she calls her daughter and says, listen, we're having a couple of guests, so the room that they use, whatever is the guest room, I think it was maybe her room, she moved out. She said, just, you know, make up the beds so it'll have a place. Fine. She gets to her house. I guess they didn't stop at the restaurant, they came to the house first. Comes to the house. The daughter opens up the door. Her daughter had studied in seminary, just had been back from seminary, just come back from a year in seminary. Opens the door, takes one look, and goes, because she knew what Reb David Feinstein looked like. So this woman realized that, I guess, there may be thousands of Feinsteins and hundreds of David Feinsteins and dozens of Rabbi David Feinsteins, but she hit the jackpot. And she had Reb David Feinstein in her house. So getting him settled, she figures what to do. Like, she calls Rabbi Feldman, the rabbi in the community in Atlanta, and tells him, well, I have Rabbi David Feinstein in my house. 5 minutes later, he's knocking on the door, coming over to welcome him. And they stayed in her house. So it was interesting. Like, people said, how come Reb David Feinstein stay in so-and-so's house? She says, I don't know, I just asked them. I said, fine. And it was very interesting. Somebody else told her the next day, you know, I saw this older couple. He also came in the airport. Standing there. He was just too tired to go over to them. So I didn't say anything. Anyway, Reb David and his wife stayed in the house. And overnight, and they here and they met the daughter, and before they left, the daughter was going to study in New York, and they said, listen, we'd like to, they were very taken, they said, we'd like to adopt your daughter as like an adopted granddaughter. She should come over to our house, you should feel comfortable. And and that's what happened. So she her daughter actually, you know, during the year went over a few times, and got close to to David Feinstein. But a few days after this whole incident happened, there's a knock on the door, whatever it is, post office delivering, huge delivery from Artscope, right? What is it? It seems that Reb David had taken a look at which Artscope books she had in her house, saw what she didn't have, remembered it, went back and ordered 25, she said, svarim and sets of svarim. Some of the 25 are not just one, but sets of all sorts of art scroll books that she didn't have, and had it delivered to her house just as a token of his appreciation. But the story doesn't end there. The daughter maintains a contact with the Feinstein family, and a couple of years later, a few years later, she gets engaged. And she's getting married, I think, in the New York area. Now, the Chassin was studying in YU and was very close to Rav Shechter. So he asked Rav Shechter to be Masada Kedusha. So she said, fine. She comes to the wedding. Rav Shechter is ready to be Masada Kedusha. And in walks Reb David Feinstein. Rav Shechter turns to the Chassin and says, very nice, he asked me to be Masada Kedusha, but I'm not going to be Masada Kedusha if Reb David Feinstein is here. You have to ask him to be Masada Kedusha. But Rebbe, no, you have to ask Reb David. So Reb David Feinstein was Masada Kedushin at her daughter's wedding. And the contact continued. They were invited, I think they said to a Pidyon HaBen of Reb David's grandson, maybe my great grandson, I don't remember what it was. And in the meantime, this woman had remarried and had moved to Seattle. And she told Rebbetzin Feinstein, if you ever want to, why don't you come visit us in Seattle? So she said, maybe. About a year later, phone rings in her house in Seattle. She picks up, and the person says, who is this? So she says her name, and she says, who is this? He says, this is Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz. Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz is a person, and since been nifter a couple of years ago, but he was a person who ran Art Scroll. He was the whole genius behind the Art Scroll. So she says, and he says to her, why does Rabbi Feinstein want to go to your house? So she said, I don't know, whatever it is. So it turns out that the Feinstein and the Zlotowitzes would vacation together during the summer. And Rebbetzin Feinstein had suggested, I guess, Mrs. Zlotowitz, maybe they should go to Seattle. Now, Rabbi Zlotowitz didn't know who this person was, and he wanted to find out. So a few weeks later, who comes to her house in Seattle? Reb David Feinstein and his wife, Rabbi Zlotowitz and his wife, and they spend a few days in her house in Seattle. So she said, Rabbi Feinstein, so she put them downstairs in the basement. So I said, oh, that's where we stayed? That's where my wife stole the son said, wow! Now, they had an expert. They said, where am I going to put Rabbi Zlotowitz? So they said, well, you know, the most private place was the basement, but they said, where am I going to put Rabbi Zlotowitz? So she and her husband decided they're going to put Rabbi Zlotowitz, obviously, in their bedroom. And they were going to move out to there was another room. So they went to move out to the other room. The other thing that she didn't tell Rabbi Zlotowitz, Rabbi Feinstein, is the other room didn't have real beds. They just had two air mattresses on the floor. And she remembers coming in, like they kept the door closed so they wouldn't see what it is. And her husband's lying on this air mattress, like on like an inch off the floor, and it's supposed to inflate. Her husband's lying there with his back up, back, you know, face to the ceiling saying, this mattress will inflate in 1 hour. Just sitting there. And that's how they had the Feinstein and the Zlotowitzes staying in their house in Seattle. There's a little bit more to the story. She tells a great story. Yeah, it was very, really a good time. She's very entertaining. But you have to think to yourself, look at this person. Aside from the fact that, you know, what we read in Rabbeinu Bechaye about the Gemara in Masechas Brachos says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kol ha-ma'areach Talmid Chacham B'toch Beso U'mahaneyu Minuchasav Anybody who hosts a Talmud Chacham in his house and shares his property, what he has with them, it's as if he's makriv a korban tamid. And here, not once, but twice, was she zochet to have Reb David Feinstein and his Rebbetzin, and the second time Reb Zlotowitz and his wife, stay in the house, give them, you know, they gave up her bedroom, shared with them everything. Why? Because despite that she was also just a little bit tired when she landed in the airport, she just saw somebody who looked like they needed a little bit of help. And all she was going to do was just offer them a ride and drop them off somewhere on the way. But look where this led to. Right, to have a relationship with Reb David Feinstein and his wife, that her daughter could have a relationship, that he would be Masada Kedushin, that they would come visit them again, let alone that to get a whole slew of Art Scroll Svarim, and it's just amazing. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us these opportunities. They're standing right there in front of us. And it's up to us. We can either grab the opportunity, or we can just, too tired, and lose it. And we think, imagine if she had never gone over to them. Worse comes to worse, what would she have thought? I don't know, there was a couple in the Atlanta airport who were probably having trouble finding the gate that they needed to go to, and 2 minutes later somebody showed them the way. And she could have gotten, and they would have said, you could have been best friends with the Feinsteins. And she said, what are you talking about? I never met the Feinsteins in my life. But you did. You just didn't know it. So the Shulchan is made from Atzei Shittim. And what did the Shittim bring with it? What does the Pasuk, what does he say? The Remez is here. I forgot already. Shalom, looking the wrong pasuk here. Right, Shalom, Tova, Yeshua, Mechila. So much can be gotten just simply from being Machnis Orchim.